Praise the Lord. Take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 3. As you're turning, let me say the music has been a blessing to my heart this morning. I thank you, choir, and the Roberts family of beautiful songs already. And then Blair, Miss Yorgi, and many of you, I don't know, many of you may not know this, but Miss Yorgi was one of my teenagers in my youth department. Now, so I'm sure she's getting old enough now, she doesn't like me saying that all the time, amen. But as preacher said, you know, if you're worth your salt, you know, rooster ought to crow in his own barn, amen, and place, and say, praise the Lord. I thank God for all the places and the people that he's allowed me to have effect upon in their life. And I'm so glad to see Blair's life and what God is doing in and through her life. Amen. And I would say, my pastor, if you want to pray for him this week, pray for strength for him, that he could just take strength back in his body again. He called me late last night and just asked me to preach for him this morning. He had every intention to be here. He just said more than anything, he thinks he's on the backside of this thing, and just this flu bug that he's got or whatever that he came back with, but just strength is what he needs. He just didn't have the strength to go this morning. And so if he could have been, if you know my preacher, this is where he would have been this morning. But let me say, I don't feel like I'm pinch hitting at this point. This is what God called me to do. And so when I get the call, out of all the things my preacher asked me to do, this is my favorite thing to do. I get to do a lot of different things around our ministry, and some of those involve taking the trash out and all the way up to being able to teach a few college classes. But out of all the things that I get to do, this is my favorite thing. This is what God called me to do. In Acts chapter 3, let me say this, for the tape room and for everyone, the title of the message today will be Approaching Deadlines. Approaching deadlines. I hope you can see all around you in every one of our lives, we all live on deadlines. There are things that happen, places we ought to be, things my children have times, even in the day school, they have approaching deadlines. They have to write a paper. They have to turn in a science project. They have deadlines to meet. This week, we had a lot of deadlines to meet. I thank God for everybody that both worked in the political realm to make all the things that happened this week and all come into a deadline here shortly, just next week, that it's going to be a deadline, folks, and it's going to go one way or the other, and it's going to be because of the work of God's people that invested, whether it's going to go one way or the other. I believe, and preacher said, and I pray, and I think I will here before we get really to preaching. This is all introduction, all right? So we'll just go ahead with that. But let me say that in introduction, God has to intervene in this election. If we are going to win this election and take some the House back and some other places, then we're going to have God intervene and see his hand in it. We saw it in the last election. We must see it in this election, but it doesn't negate the fact that we must do our civic duty and get out and vote. It doesn't mean that we don't have to get in our civic duty. And listen, if you've got a neighbor that doesn't have a car and they need to get to the polls, you get them there. You get them there and then tell them how to vote, all right? And tell them if they want to get home from the polls, how to vote. Amen. All right, that's not blackmail. That's just Uberism or whatever it is. All right, so, all right, that's a new term that we'll put in the dictionary. But again, as we think and we approach, there's some approaching deadlines. Folks, you know, the newspaper and news articles are written on deadlines. They've got to get a deadline. They got to get it out. We all understand deadlines. In my business, when I worked for myself, we had deadlines and contracts that we had to meet, that we had signed on the dotted line, and we had to meet those deadlines. And in God's realm, spiritual things, there are spiritual deadlines that we can see approaching as our country, as our nation, as the world waxes worse and worse, we can see some approaching deadlines coming down the road. And that's where we want to spend our time this morning. I want to take it from maybe a familiar passage of Scripture in the New Testament here, and we'll kind of give you some background. But let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to bless our message and our time together this morning. Dear God, I do pray, and I ask you, God, again, to just use me as your messenger boy. God, I thank you for the church, and I thank you for the people that have come this morning, but God, they don't want to hear from me. They want to hear from you and from your word. And God, I pray that you just move me out of the way and just hide me behind your cross. And Lord, use me as your messenger voice, as your voice, God, to speak the message from your word that you have for your people this morning. God, I pray if there is one in this building today that does not know Christ as their personal Savior, that today would be the day of salvation for them. I pray if someone on the online or on the radio is in the balance and they need to be saved, today they would seek you through the message today. They'd hear and they'd realize that they're lost and undone without Christ, and that they would come to you in salvation. God, I pray that you would do the work. Holy Spirit of God, I beg you to use me and do the work that only you can do, God, and go into the hearts of the hearers and do the business that needs to be done this morning. We'll beg you, and we ask it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Acts chapter 3, I'm going to read a large portion of the scripture, but again, in verse number 12, I want you to see the background a little bit of everything, and these approaching deadlines for schools and businesses, and even in government, even the government has deadlines, folks. I mean, they have government deadlines of their budget, and they talk about closing down the government, and they talk about all the different things that happen because they work on deadlines as well. How many of you can go so far back? I was a young man. I was 8 years old back in the day when President Reagan, I mean, one of the greatest presidents in American history, I mean, stood up and bold and with backbone told all those airport controllers that they were going to go back to work or they were going to be done in that business. He talked about how it was hurting the safety of Americans. And I mean, it was August 5th. He came out 2 days and he gave them a 2-day deadline. He said, you'll go back to work or there won't be a job when you come back to look for it because we'll put somebody else in your place. And listen, we need men and we need people in government who have that kind of backbone. When it's a right and wrong issue, when there's the safety of God's people and the world, the U.S. economy, I mean, everything that we could talk about, when those things hang in the balance, we need men to stand up in government and have a backbone and decide this is right. Not it's popular. It's right, but it's not. It may not be popular with everybody. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't remember. I was 8 years old back then, but I knew this. My parents and God's people respected our president when he went out and said, you will go back to work or you will not have a job. I'm not here to get on or under a bunch of trouble with unions and everything, but I realized this, that, you know, as our moral society declines, unions were put in place in a Great Depression to protect the American worker from a boss that would exploit them. And now we've come all the way full circle to a day that laws that were put in place to protect the American worker are now the American worker is exploiting the business owner. And God's people, listen, we need people that can rightly judge according to the word of God in government and set things right. In its inception, those things were good things. Those things were protective things. But we can't, listen, we've got to be careful. And our pastor, our president of the Senate, can I say this? You got to be careful how much of your freedom you give up because they won't give it back to you. They all just give it to us for this piece of time. Just give it for a little while. Listen, there are approaching deadlines, and this election will determine the future of our nation, whether we continue on American values or whether we head down a road that we cannot come back from. I have been surprised and pleasantly surprised how far I believe that how much of the swamp has been drained at this point. But it was deeper than anyone ever imagined. And if good people, as our pastor said just the other day, do nothing, then listen, we will get what we deserve. We will get what we deserve, and we will wave goodbye to the American way of life that we have so long enjoyed. This approaching deadline is set even next week, but you know there are more approaching deadlines. Here we saw a time, and you know there were approaching times in the Jewish life. There were times they had to go up to the temple, and they had to come back and forth and do different things. And again, they were all pictures of what Jesus would eventually come and do for his people and for you and I and pay for our sin debt. And here we come to the temple. We see Peter and John shortly after the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit Spirit has descended upon the church to empower the church, not to start the church, folks. The church was started long before Pentecost. Let me just put that in there for all of us. Amen, amen, and amen. The church was started and purchased by the blood of Lord Jesus and empowered at Pentecost with the Holy Spirit coming in. And here in chapter 3 and verse 12, we'll just tell you the story. A impotent man, according to the scripture, was laying by the gate beautiful, and he was sitting there begging alms. He was carried there day by day, according to the scripture. And he was sitting there one day, and he saw Peter and John coming in, and he looked up at them, and he said, just like you and I would have said if you're a Baptist preacher, he said, they said, hey, could you give me some alms? And they didn't have nothing to give. He said, but what I have, I'll give you. And they said, in the name of the Lord Jesus, rise up. And again, and I preached on it here before. It was a couple years ago, but that guy leaped up. He didn't just stand up, but I mean, power came to his legs and his bones. And I mean, this is a miraculous thing. This guy from his mother's womb had never walked, had never been able to run and jump and play like all the other kids, all the way to the place where he had been down to a place where he had to go to the gate beautiful every day to earn a living, to beg just a little bit. But boy, when he met Peter and John and he got those legs, he hopped up. And for the first time, he wasn't carried into the temple, but he walked into the temple. And all the people that had come back and forth to the temple realized that's the guy that has never walked before. That's that impotent man that always sat by the gate. All these people were getting excited. And you know, and just like we do, sometimes if we're not careful, we get our eyes on some good thing that some man did, or even we ourselves. God uses us to do something, and if we're not careful, we'll get puffed up with pride and we'll say, yeah, it was me. But Peter and John knew better. Peter had already stuck his foot in his mouth way too many times. He went in with this guy. He said, I don't know what y'all are talking about. That's where we're going to pick this up. Why are you marveling? This wasn't done under my power or John's power, but in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, if I could tell you one thing today that you need to take home with you, if you want to see this election won, then the person that you need to call out to God and ask him for this election, you need to call out and ask him in Jesus' name. It's the one that has power. It's the one that can change things. It's the one that when God is listening in for somebody call out, he's listening for in your son, the Lord Jesus' name, amen. He's looking for that at the end of every prayer. And here in the power of his name, in verse 12, look at it with me. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just One, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised up from the dead, whereof we are witnesses, and his name, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is, look at this, by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you. So he explains everything. Listen, it's not in the power of me or John. It's not because of our holiness. Can I just tell you, folks, today, I'm preaching to the choir, but I'll tell you, if you're here and you think that personal holiness or anything that you could work up could equate that you could go to heaven, that isn't going to get you there. You can't come to church enough to get you to heaven. You can't be good enough to get you to heaven. You can't get baptized enough. You can't teach enough Sunday school to get you to heaven. You can't do any work that's going to have any power enough to transport your never-dying soul from this place at death to heaven above. But there was one whose name is so powerful that if you call out to him in salvation, that boy, I'm here to tell you, just like this impotent man, his legs took strength, that same Jesus is the one that died on Calvary and paid for your sin debt. And all it takes is calling out upon his name and upon what he did on Calvary to save every man and take him to heaven. You can't get to heaven by Muhammad. You can't get to heaven by Buddha. You can't get to heaven through a Jehovah's Witness way. You can't get through any way. Boy, wouldn't it be good if we could just let everybody go their own way. If man could work up their own salvation. If man could set out a set of rules and say, God, if I follow this set of rules, will you honor me and let me go to heaven? No, no, no. God chose one man, one person, one way, and his name is Jesus. And he came to pay for every man's sin. Listen, there's an appointed day for every man to die. And then the judgment, we know that from the scripture, Hebrews chapter 9 says, it's appointed a man once to die. And every one of us that's living and breathing, listen, I'm looking for Jesus to come, but if not, there's a day appointed for me. There's a deadline set that I'll make because God set it for me. And I don't know if it's today. I could leave this place and get in my car and never see the election. I could never know the results, but I could, listen, because the deadline's been set. You folks that are sitting in here, none of us ever make plans to die. None of us never make plans to go and say, you know, today is going to be the day. None of us make those deadlines. God set that deadline. And folks, we're not going to do anything to change it. It's a God-set deadline. I mean, it's a deadline that we can't get outside of. It's a deadline that we can't, listen, even for us. If the liberals had their way, they'd move back the election. They'd move it forward. They'd move it to adjust for us. Listen, we're not any different. We have the lust of the flesh, and we'd like to stay in this body just as long as we could. And if we knew what the deadline was, we'd move it around a little bit. I've known saints that knew they were on their way to heaven, and they would love to have moved it forward because of the pain and the agony that they were in on this side of heaven. But they didn't know what God was going to do with them, and so many of them. I had one, I used to preach up here at the Haines City Healthcare, and I'd have saints that used to go to this church, sing in this choir, and now their bodies were failing them, and they weren't able to, they had to be wheeled to the services, and sometimes I'd go in and pray with them and be at their bedside, and they'd say, I wish God would just call me home, but you know what, every day that I'd get to go over there and sit with them, they'd encourage me in the Lord. They'd say an encouraging word. I thank God for you coming by to see me, but I'm thankful that you're a witness. I'm thankful for the help you are to our preacher. I mean, they would just say something to me, and I'd say, listen, if you don't know why God is leaving you here, if you don't understand God's plan, I'm just going to tell you right now, you've been an encouragement to me today. You helped me to realize that I got two good legs, and I got two good hands, and I got a good mouth and ears and eyes to serve the Lord today. And you would if you could, but you can, and you've encouraged me and told me to go on and do more. Hey, folks, can I tell you, there's a deadline set for me. If God tarries his coming, I may not be able to preach like this anymore. That my body won't give me the health to do what I want to do. That I won't be able to get up and get everything that's in my mind out my mouth to speak it. But every day, I want more than anything to every day do what God wants me to do. Can I just tell you this morning, there's a deadline set for us. Not just physically where we can't go on and do the things we used to do. But there's a deadline set that we cannot negate. There's not enough weights to lift. There's not enough pills to take to stop the day that God's going to call us home. And we have no way to know what that day is, but here he says some things in the scripture. I want you to look at this. This impotent man, he didn't think that this was the date, but God knew this was the date his legs were going to be made whole. This is something God had been planning from the foundation of the world. Do you realize that after these two men go and preach that more than that blessed thing that people hold at Pentecost, more people get saved to this day than all the people. That wonderful miracle of speaking in tongues that they use and people so well pronounced, can I just tell you that they were speaking in languages that people could understand? And then just a few days later, these men enter the temple and they see a man that's been He's been sick and broken from his mother's womb. And when he gets healed, they see the power of God. And 5,000 men, according to the scripture, come to salvation. But let me see. He goes, well, how did they come to salvation? Well, Peter started to preach Jesus. He had already told them that they slain the Lord of glory, that the Prince of God, the Holy One, they had killed him. And he goes through all these different things. But now in verse 18, he says, but those things which God before hath showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Do you realize, folks, that in verse 18, it encompasses so many things. All the prophecies of the Old Testament that the Lord Jesus, listen, it wasn't just happenstance that he showed up one day. But the Bible says in the fullness of time,
times. That means it was a deadline had been set, and Jesus appeared just like he said God had always said he would. And everything God said that he would do, he came and fulfilled every piece of the law in his own body. And then he went to the cross, and when he didn't deserve to be put to death, he went and died for every man, you and me, and every woman and every boy and every girl that ever was born. He died for the sins of the world. And it says that here he comes to this place and he says, all these things that we've been looking for, everything in the Messiah that was predicted, he fulfilled it in his life. And he says to these Jews, these people that should know that Jesus came and that he fulfilled all these things, he says to them, repent ye therefore. You know what repentance is? I was looking for a Savior and repenting and turning 180 and saying, he's already come. That's what the Jews needed to do. Do you know what repentance is? There are people that will preach that you need to get rid of all your sins. You can't do that in your own strength. You can't get good enough to get saved. Repentance is simply turning. Boy, if you believe that you had to get baptized to get saved, you need to turn from that and turn to Jesus and realize he's the only way to get saved. If you believe that you could work your way to heaven, you need to turn from that and turn to Jesus and be saved. You know, if you were believing anything else, anybody else, any other name under heaven, if you were trusting in them, repentance is turning from any other belief in any other thing and coming in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. That is true repentance. Today, he says some things. Look at it with me. He says, repent ye therefore. And number one, if you're taking points today, be converted. You know the word converted? I'm just going to have to teach you science a little while. You know that a car makes electricity. We got an old beat up truck over here on the parking lot that wouldn't start the other day because it stopped converting power. As that motor turns, it no longer fed the battery anymore. It no longer gave the power. It never gave power to that anymore. You know what converting, be converted is? That means I was sending my hope and my faith to this area. I was sending everything. I was believing in this, that repentance. Being converted is I'm not somewhat convinced. I'm wholly convinced that Jesus is the Son of the living God, that he came from heaven and was born of a virgin, that he lived a perfect life here on earth, and then he went to Calvary and he paid for my sin on the cross of Calvary, and then on the third day, he rose up from the grave. Listen, a lot of men got a lot of good stories, but nobody gets to that place where they rose up under their own power from the grave and took the keys to death and hell and said, amen, and went on. That's my Jesus. Listen, it's not in anybody else's name to be saved. I remember at 15 years old, I believed in a lot of things. I believed my mom and dad. I went to a good church and they preached good things and they preached the Bible. And I mean, I had a head knowledge full of things, but boy, there was a day that I realized that I was lost and undone without the Savior. And I was wholly converted. I believed and I said to God, I've told you before and I'll tell you again. I said, if I go to hell, it's because you didn't do what you said you're doing. I am resting in the full work of Jesus Christ. I'm resting in your name and in your name alone, not in my works, not in my goodness, not in the church, not in baptism, not in any other thing that a man can trust in, but I'm wholly converted to trusting in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you may think that this is redundant, but folks, it's encouraging to me because there's a lot of other names that are preached under heaven, but the only one that man can be saved, the only one that can be converted and reach heaven is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me say before I move on, it's Jesus plus nothing. There's a world of people and a world of perversions of Bibles and everything else out there that go Jesus plus something else. Jesus plus this. And it's Jesus plus nothing. You add anything to Jesus and you're in a perverted state. You cannot be saved with Jesus plus anything else. It's not Jesus plus the sacraments. It's not Jesus plus baptism. It's not Jesus plus anything else. Anything plus Jesus makes a perversion, something that's wrong. It's Jesus. He will not share his glory with baptism. He will not share his glory with your own works. He will not share his glory with your righteousness or your holiness. Jesus will not share his glory. God in heaven will take no respect of any man that adds anything to his son. He wants all men to glorify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, be converted, number one. That means leave any other belief system that you're under and turn wholly to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. He goes on. He says, and that your sins may be blotted out. Can I say this? And I'll just ask you to stay with me. I wanted to stay with some C's. C's, be cleansed. You know, as a sinner, I can tell you today, I'm not going to give you a list of my sins. You're not my confessional booth. I don't have to confess to one. Man, there's one I confess to, and he's a savior of the world. He's my intercessor. I go to him, and he's faithful and just to forgive me my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. That same Jesus, I want to tell you that it's his blood. The word here, look at the word, it says that. That your sins may be blotted out. I want to be cleansed by the blood of the Holy Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. That same Jesus was projected. All the lambs that were slain in the past pictured a holy one that would come, a Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, that would come and fulfill all the things in the law and then die. And his blood, this is the Bible says, uses this, and I get goosebumps when I think about it, that there in heaven, there's a tabernacle not made with hands. And that Jesus, the Son of God, that Mary came and said she wanted to touch him, he says, don't touch me because I've not yet ascended to my Father. He didn't want to taint that thing that went on. And Jesus went to heaven. The Bible says that he took the captivity captive. That means he went down into the lower parts. And Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the ones that have been waiting on the fullness of salvation that you and I so readily not deserve, but enjoy in this New Testament age, that he scooped them all up, and I believe they got to be witnesses of the blood that was shed. The lamb, he took it there, and the Bible says that he went into that place, and just like a high priest, amen. I mean, he went in just like the high priest had. I mean, everything that was issued to Moses was going to picture a day that Jesus was going to step into the tabernacle that a man that was just, made of clay couldn't walk in, but the Holy Lamb of God went in there with his own blood, and he sprinkled the blood of the lamb on the mercy seat in heaven and made a way for you and I to be saved in that same blood. Listen, when I come to Jesus and salvation, I believe God keeps a record of every sin that every man has ever, I'm telling you, every sin that every man has ever done. That book, it takes the blood, that ink, the only thing that blots out the ink in God's book that he records your sins in is the blood of the Holy Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he takes that and blots out the sin that I committed, that you committed, if you'll come to God, if you'll be converted and come to the Lord Jesus. I remember a day I bowed my head and my heart before God and I asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins. I didn't use all the Bible terminology here, folks, but I remember going to him and say, please forgive my sins. Hey, I've wronged a lot of people on this side of heaven. I mean, just sometimes accidentally, but listen, I can tell you right now, when we sin against the Holy God. And if there's one that has aught against us, it would be God. He goes all the way through this, and then he says, and when the times of refreshing shall come. Can I read a couple verses? Look at this with me. Repent ye therefore, in verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Verse 21, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. There's two times, I'll say it like this. There are two deadlines here in these verses. One of them is a time of refreshing. He says the time of refreshing. Verse 19 and verse 21, he says, look at it, the times of restitution of all things. You see, The Jew didn't believe. They looked for a Messiah who would come and set up his kingdom upon the earth. They missed some things that were in the scripture. And they were wondering, if Jesus is the Messiah, then why isn't he here? Why isn't he sending up his kingdom? Why isn't he just taking over the Roman government and taking control of all things? Why isn't he do that? Because it wasn't time for that yet, folks. That deadline had not been crossed. But he tells these people here, he said, the Messiah has come, and he's made a way of salvation for you. And if you come to him in salvation and you be converted to the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be saved. And if you do that, he'll blot out your sins. And he, look at it. And then he comes to this. He says, and when the times of refreshing shall come. Can I tell you what that time is for the believer? I'm not looking for Jesus to come and set up his kingdom. I'm looking for him to descend from heaven in a cloud. There's going to be a trumpet, a loud shout for the Christian. And it's going to say, come up hither. I'm looking for a time of refreshing. I don't care how good it is in the next election. I don't care how good he repairs the economy. It'll never be like that day when Jesus shows up for his own and calls the Christian to come up hither, and I get to walk the streets of gold, and I'll never leave the presence of my Savior. Can I tell you, that time is going to be refreshing. Now listen, if the right man gets in, it'll be a little refreshing. Amen. I'm looking for that. But there's a time of refreshing that's on the calendar. There's a deadline set. And I want you to read with me and just look at it here. He says, when the times of refreshing shall come. It doesn't say it may come. He doesn't say it could come. It may roll around if we are good enough. No, God set it on his calendar. That day's coming whether we want it to or not. And folks, that means that there's a deadline on your life. That means if you should live and tarry around here on this earth till the return of Jesus Christ, that means there's a deadline set that he's coming back for his own, and you could miss it if you're not converted by the time that date rolls around. It means that you could miss it if you're not converted and you come to Christ in salvation. You could miss that date. Listen, there's a lot of people, I believe, they're going to fool around. If they're not careful, they're going to fool around and put it off, and they're going to say, you know, I meant to vote in this election. I meant to get around to it. I meant to get in there. I knew it was important. But I'm serious, folks, as close as this election is going to be, there are people that are going to mess around until they miss it. And just, listen, this election is nowhere near as important as heaven or hell is for a person. And people are waiting for this deadline, and it shall come according to the scripture. And they're working, and they're pressing on. They're going about their daily lives. They're going to fun things and amusements, and they're going to things that are, commitments that they've made. But listen, none of that is important as the date that God has set. And if you miss that one, friend, you'll be sorry you missed it. You'll be sorry for eternity if you miss Jesus, because he's going to descend, and it'll be in a twink of an eye. You won't have time. You know, when I see Jesus coming forth, when I hear the trumpet call, I'll jump up and I'll accept him then. No, you won't, folks. It's going to happen like that. In the twinkling of an eye, faster than I could snap my finger, Jesus will bust through the sky and I'm going to be gone, gone. I don't know about you, but some of the scariest pictures I've ever seen. When I was a lost young man and as a little boy, I remember looking at all those things, thinking about, you know, that there used to be, and I think about how far we've gone as a country. It used to be airlines would check to see if their pilots, one was saved and one was lost. They would check on it because they didn't want the thing coming down when they believed Jesus was going to come back for his own. They believed there were airlines that actually did that, folks, back in the day. Listen, nobody's checking to see whether folks are alive, if they're alive unto the Savior, or if they're dead. I'm here to tell you, there's going to come a day when Jesus calls his own out of this place, and the world is going to be shocked. And it's going to be so shocked by that taking out of God's people that God says that he's going to have to send strong delusion. Can you imagine the sorrow? Can you imagine all the things? That's a deadline. But that's not as bad as the deadline that's coming after that. He says, look, he says, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Listen, I'm here to tell you, folks, the tribulation period and the time that will follow. Listen, for the believer, for the Jew, it's going to be wonderful when Jesus comes back and rules and reigns. But there are some nations that aren't going to have any of it. He's going to have to put them down. If you've read the back of the book, you know this. He's coming back with the armies of heaven. to put down the Antichrist and his whole army and the horde and lay waste to them. The Bible says in that valley of Armageddon that the blood will run as high as a bridle on a horse. And if you're not familiar with a horse, that's pretty deep. That's enough to swim in, folks. Can I just tell you, there's some serious things coming in the future. There's some deadlines that you don't want to cross in this life. But I'm glad that God has made a way for people to be saved and miss all those things, to come to Christ and be converted, to have a time of refreshing instead of a time of restitution. Well, what is restitution? Restitution is getting judgment. It's taking back some things that have been taken. I told my class the other day, do you know that through that tribulation period, it says that 1/3 of the ocean, all the living creatures in it are going to die. 1/3 of the grass and trees and the earth are going to be burned up. I mean, 1/3 of man is going to die in the tribulation period. You say, why would it be a time of restitution? Well, how much of God did they kill on Calvary? 1/3 of God died for your sin and my sin. And I'm glad that he forgave my sins, that he's going to give me a time of refreshing. But listen, there's a time that he's going to have restitution upon the world, that his wrath is going to be poured out like out of a vial upon the earth. And I'm thankful that he's made a way for the Christian who's alive in this New Testament age to miss all those things if we come to him in Christ. You say, Brother Parsons, you're just trying to scare us. I'm just trying to warn you. I'm trying to be another one of those. I'm not prophesying. I'm just reading what the prophets have put down and penned down for us. God said it shall come. And just like every other thing on his timeline, just like it clicked by and happened, just like he said it would, there's going to be a time of refreshing. And if you don't get saved, you're going to miss it. And there's going to be a time of restitution. And if you miss the time of refreshing, folks, you will be here for the time of restitution. This election is for the soul of our country, and it's a big one. But the other deadline that's been set is for your soul. Not the soul of a nation, but for your personal soul. And if you've not come to Christ, then you will personally answer to God. One day you'll stand before him, and he'll say, depart from me. I never knew you. I'm thankful for the day that I came to Christ. And the reason we meet as a church every Sunday is to see people that come in the door, just like I did, walk an aisle and be saved. The reason we come, because when we preach Jesus, we get encouraged. Because that day's coming, just like I believed it a long time ago. It's still coming, just like I believed it was. But there's a whole bunch of people in this world, and maybe somebody in this building today, that does not know for sure that they're going to get to heaven. So today is that day for you. It's that day that when the invitation is given, you should step out and walk an old-fashioned aisle and let the preacher take your hand and say, let me show you the Bible, how the Bible says you can go to heaven. Amen. Well, take the scriptures and show you how you can be converted, how you can have your sins blotted out, how you can miss that appointed destination, that deadline that's coming for all men. You say, Brother Parsons, you really believe that? If I didn't believe that, I sure wouldn't be taking my time to be up here preaching today. If I didn't believe that, I surely wouldn't have sold everything that I had in this life and given my life to live and to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, Christian, you wouldn't be here today if you didn't believe it. What do we do with it? Man, just like this election is important, every day is important to somebody because it's heaven or hell for them. Every day is that way. Folks, if you're here and you're lost, boy, don't spend another day lost. Come to Jesus in salvation. Folks, if you want to pray for this election, we need to call out to God and beg him to get in and to intervene in this election and to have righteousness win this election. We need that more than anything else. This morning, as I prayed and I prepared for this message, I realized from the scripture, a sincere, broken heart for my nation, with tears falling upon the pages of this Bible that I'm using, I know that that is the only thing that's going to help us in this election. Cast your vote and beg God, humble yourselves and pray and seek God's face. That's what the Bible says. Turn from your wicked way. And then maybe God will get in on the election. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand this morning? The pianist is going to come, but if you're here and you don't know if you died today, you'd go to heaven. You don't know that. You're not 100% sure. You remember a day that you went to church and people tell you that you're saved, but you don't know that in your heart. You don't know for sure that you're saved. Boy, don't let it to chance. Don't just go home and sweat it out. Come to the altar this morning and let someone take a Bible and show you how to be saved. I'm going to pray. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, nobody's looking around but me and the Lord. Would one of you raise your hand out there, maybe two? Somebody that's visiting would slip their hand up and say, Brother Parsons, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. I need to come to the Lord in salvation. Would you slip your hand up? One anywhere. I see one. Is there anybody else? Anybody that would slip their hand up and say, I need to be saved? Listen, you don't have to raise your hand to be saved. Just step out when the music starts and come down to an old-fashioned altar and be saved. Dear God, I saw the hand that was raised, and many others maybe need to be coming down and be saved this morning, God, but you know there. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you would draw them, God. Just press their heart to be saved. Give them peace until they come to Christ in salvation. God, I pray for the believer that's here that's been saved. God, help them to pray and to beg God for this election. Help us to humble ourselves before you, God, and to beg and seek your face to win this election. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Would you bow your heads this morning as the music continues to play? Would you step out? If God asked you to come and be saved this morning, if the Holy Spirit has been tugging on your heart, you know you need to be saved, would you just step out while everyone's heads are bowed? I know it's hard. I know that sometimes it's embarrassing, we feel, but everybody in this building that's saved knows exactly how you feel. They've stepped out and they've been saved just the same old-fashioned way that you can be this morning if you'll step out and trust Christ. I beg you this morning, if God's calling and speaking to your hearts and to the Christian, I beg you, make it a matter of prayer this week. We have a few days before this election, and I beg you to pray with tears and a broken heart. Ask God to forgive us as a nation for how far we've gone away from Him. Humble yourself before God and pray that God would give us a space of grace in this election. I beg God this morning, and I'll continue to beg Him. I hope that God's people will. We're going to sing. If you're here and you're not saved, please step out and come to Christ.
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, just as I am, poor wretched, blind, sight rich as healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God.
folks, I know that, you know, sometimes in a service, an old-fashioned service like ours, it seems like the singing goes on and on at the end. But, you know, when God's working, we need to be in a state of prayer. We preached and asked people to make a decision. And, boy, that's what's going on. And so I ask you, listen, I talked to my preacher last night when he called me and he wanted to be here. Most of the time when I get to preach, he says, boy, just let them have it. Amen. But last night he was worried about our nation. Last night he gave me 3 points in a poem on the phone because he knows how important this election is. He realizes how our nation is hanging in the balance. He realizes that if this happens, if this situation that we have coming in this election, if it goes the wrong way, folks, it could be bad. It could be the end of the space of grace for the church to be able to meet freely like we meet this morning. It could be the beginning of the end of a radio station that God has blessed our church with. It could be the end of what we know as American prosperity. You say, well, Brother Parsons, God can still work. I believe that. I preached it Wednesday night. I believe God will still be on the throne. But I know this. If my prayers could change the heart of God to move in this election, if your prayers could change God to move and to act in this election, we owe it to our children and to our grandchildren to pray and to seek God's face like we never have before. Let me encourage you. I know that this may be asking a lot, but I would love to see our church. This is what I'm going to do. And I'm not trying to brag on me. I'm just going to ask you to do something that maybe is outside of your comfort zone. Maybe your health won't provide it, but this. I would like to see our church fast and pray tomorrow for this election. You don't have to fast from food. You could fast from television and take the time that you watch television and just pray and ask God to do something. You could fast food, and every time you don't eat, you pray and ask God. Every time your stomach gives you that hunger pain, you go to God in prayer for America. You could fast, I mean, just anything. You could just take something that's precious to you and show God how important this election is to you as a believer. That you'll give up some things to go to God and pray, to humble yourself and to seek God and ask Him to intervene. Folks, I know that this, you say, well, Brother Parsons, that's outside of bounds. No, folks, no. God is working in our midst. God is working in our nation. Wouldn't it be a shame for the church to be derailed because of an election? Wouldn't it be, I believe that faith will still be on the earth, and I believe it could increase should we lose the election. I'm not saying. When bad times come, boy, people start turning to God. And that may be His will, but I sure am going to beg God to keep righteousness in the position that it ought to be. I'm going to beg God to keep the right side in office. I believe that's what we ought to do as God's people. We're going to sing a couple more verses. People are still being dealt with. Would you bow your head and pray for those that are up front? Whatever God's doing in their life, would you bow your heads and pray now as we sing?
Just as I am, Thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because Thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
we're going to let you be seated. Thank you so much for being patient with us this morning.